from.
Again, we're happy to see you out today to engage another study from God's Word. This being the official end of summer, I suppose, a lot of folks out of town need to pray for them. Is there a way from us? We're going to be having a class again this Friday night. For those that desire to come at Phil and Linda's house this time at 7 o'clock, so invite you to come to that. Also, those that are ill, we need to remember those, as Bob announced, Oreen, and of course Mary, if she's here. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for Kermit as he's battling. I think his fifth round of cancer now. This time it's renal and kidney cancer, he found out the other day. So need to pray for him and Orma, as well as other folks that are battling with that disease right now and other problems that people have. We have a number of folks here that are in a lot of pain from week to week and recognize that. Appreciate your faithfulness coming still and being with us even though you are in a lot of pain. The other day I was given some old directories. Looking through the directories, directory from 1972. Phil, you had luxurious hair in 1972 in that picture. I tell you what. I'll show it to you after services. Look at people who were a whole lot younger than 40 years ago, over 40 years ago. Looked at myself, looked at my wife. Looked like I was about 8 or 9 years older than my wife at that time. I don't know. Thought we were closer in age. She was a little girl then, as well as others. And I thought about what happened with a lot of people as I looked through that directory of 1972. How people's lives have changed. Some people were locked into the past. And as they were locked into the past, after a period of time, they left the Lord. When I think of Bible characters locked in the past for a period of time and then getting out of it, think of people like Joseph. Over in the book of Genesis, and in verse 37 of Genesis, and about verse 29, Genesis 37, verse 29, it says, "Now Reuben entered into the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit, so he tore his clothes, and he returned to his brothers and said, 'The boy is not there. As for me, where am I to go?' So they took Joseph's tunic and slaughtered a male goat and dipped the tunic in blood. And they sent the very colored tunic and brought it to their father and said, 'We found this. Please examine it to see whether this is your son's tunic or not.' And he examined it, and he said, 'It is my son's tunic. An evil beast or a wild beast has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn into pieces.'" That was Israel's conclusion that he drew. But from the age of 17 to the age of 39, when finally his brothers show up in Egypt after a famine, Joseph could have been locked in the past. He could have asked the question, "Where is my father? Where has he been for 22 years now? For 22 years, I've been waiting for my father to come and rescue me." But he didn't do that. Joseph, it seemed like at some period or some point in his time, whether at 17 or whether at 39, he realized that this was part of the plan of God and he wasn't going to be locked in the past. Or Jephthah. In the book of Judges and in chapter 11. Book of Judges in chapter 11. It says at the end of verse 30. If you will indeed give the sons of Ammon into my hand, when it shall be that whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the sons of Ammon, it shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. So Jephthah crossed over the sons of Ammon to fight them, and the Lord gave them into his hand. Seemed very happy about that. Until when he got back home, and I suppose the first thing out of the door was probably supposed to be some animal. But instead it was his daughter. And he had to give her to the Lord. I don't know if he offered her as a burnt offering or not. Offerings as burnt offerings at that time of people was an abomination to the Lord. So I don't know if that's the case or not. I think probably she just had to remain a virgin all of her life was the idea. But the point is, whatever it is, Jephthah had to keep that vow. But Jephthah moved on with his life. He didn't let that control his life. He went out to battle again. Or maybe Saul of Tarsus in the book of Acts and in chapter 9 after he is converted to the Lord, after he's baptized. Says in verse 23 of chapter 9, and many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. And their plot became known to Saul, and they were watching the gates night and day that they might put him to death. And his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. And when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. He refused to be locked in the past. So that's what we want to talk about for a few minutes this morning. Conquering the past and what we have to do. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11, there was people that were involved in all sorts of sin, but they were able to conquer their past. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, beginning, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. Then he talks about you were washed, you were sanctified. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, one thing I do, and then he says, forgetting. And the Greek word there basically means to put out of the mind, to put out of your mind. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So four points I want you to look at this morning and the lesson will be yours. Number one, when we talk about conquering our past, one thing we have to do is we have to put behind our past life. What are some things that you need to put behind you? In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 22. Verse 22 through verse 24. It says in verse 22 that in reference to your former life or your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, that has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. In Romans and in chapter 12, we looked at this in our Bible class this morning. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this culture, this manner of life. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. What he's saying there is that I have to leave the past. I don't long for the past anymore. I don't cherish the past anymore. All the things that I thought about were fun in the past. I understand they were destroying my life and your life. Therefore, I don't long for those things anymore. You want to know why people struggle with sin? And why they struggle with ungodliness? Because they don't want to let go of their past. This was something that was fun to them. This is something that was enjoyable to them. I had a fellow I heard one time said, the most wonderful time I ever had in my life was at the strip club. I was married. I had a beautiful wife. Beautiful children. Good career. Good life. And the most wonderful day he ever had was at a strip club. You got to forget the past. You got to remove the past from your life. In Luke and in chapter 9 and in verse 61 and 62. Luke 9 and verses 61 and 62. It says, another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those who are at home. And Jesus said, and no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. We have several people in here that used to be farmers. And I don't know how many times on a farm you plowed a field by turning around looking the other way. If you weren't focusing on those old mules, if you weren't focusing on that furrow, you were turned around looking the other way. There's no way in the world you were going to plow that straight. You can't, Jesus is saying here, you can't serve me with a dual love. You can't say you love me and you love the world at the same time. You want to go back to drinking again. You want to go back to doing drugs again. You want to go back to committing immorality again. Whatever it is in life, you still want to go back. You want to hold to that once again. And there's no way in the world that you're going to conquer your past if you're living like that. You remember the Israelites? when they finally got into the wilderness wandering around, what did they say? We want to go back. We want to be slaves. We want to be slaves in Egypt again. They had great food back there. We had leeks. We had garlic. We had this, that, and the other. We had a wonderful experience in Egypt. They had forgotten about their life. They had forgotten about the beatings they took and everything else that was involved with slavery. Now they had freedom. They don't want that anymore. They wanted the past. Something else that we see here, and that is that you put behind your past guilt. Put your past guilt behind you. In 1 Timothy and in chapter 1, the interesting thing, the Apostle Paul says there, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 15, says in verse 15, this is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Some of the older versions say I am the chiefest of sinners. But his idea is, I'm going to put that behind me now. I'm going to put that past behind me now. In Acts chapter 22 and in verse 16, Ananias said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If the Lord forgets your sins, if the Lord doesn't remember your sins anymore, then we need to let go of that guilt ourselves. Where would the Apostle Paul have been if he would have wallowed in the guilt of going back to Jerusalem, seeing Stephen's widow there, seeing Stephen's children there, knowing that he had been a part of putting that man to death, and probably maybe hundreds or thousands more in the church of Jerusalem at that time before they were dispersed? 3,000 baptized one day. 4,000, 5,000 baptized another day. So that's a lot of folks. And he was putting to death a lot of people. How could he have lived with himself? But he understood, if I am going to live like God wants me to, then I'm going to put this behind me. Because I am going to ruin today. I'm going to ruin right now if I am continually living in the past. In Romans chapter 6 and in verse 21 and 22. Romans 6 and verse 21 and 22. Says in verse 21, therefore, what benefit are you then deriving from the things which you now are ashamed of? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. A third point I want you to see here as we conquer the past, and that is that you put behind past failures. You get up. You repent. And you press on for that goal that the Apostle Paul talks about. We didn't talk about the Apostle Peter a minute ago when I had him up on the chart. I'll talk about him right now for a minute. In Matthew and in the 26th chapter and in verse 33, Matthew 26, and in verse 33, it says in verse 33, and Peter said unto him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. I'll die for you. Then Jesus said in Luke 22 and in verse 31, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Satan wants to see, Peter, if you're really genuine or not concerning what you say. And we see for a period of time that he wasn't. We see in chapter 26 of Matthew that there he is with the little girl in the courtyard. In verse 69 of chapter 26, it said Peter was sitting outside the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, Are you too with Jesus the Galilean? He denied him before all, saying, I do not even know who you're talking about. And when he had gone out of the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, This man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied it with an oath and said, I do not know the man. And a little bit later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, Surely you too are one of them, for even your talk gives you a way, and then he began to curse and to swear. Not profanity like we use today. But to curse by the God of heaven, I don't know this man. That's what it means, curse and swear here. By the God of heaven, I do not know this man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus said, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. And it was days. John chapter 21, to where Peter is restored. We see the motivation of love here beginning in verse 15 of John chapter 21. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, Tend my lambs. He said unto him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, Shepherd my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, To tend my sheep. And he put behind those past failures. He was there on the day of Pentecost preaching the gospel. 3,000 baptized. He introduced the gospel to the Gentiles, Cornelius. He put behind those past failures. Last thing I want you to see here is that you put behind past wounds. What occurs in your life? In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 32. Ephesians 4 and in verse 32. The Apostle Paul writes here, Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. In 1 Peter and in chapter 2, and in verse 20, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. He says in verse 20, For what credit is there when you sin and you are harshly treated, you endure it with patience. But when you do what is right and you suffer for it, patiently. This finds favor with God. In John 19, we see an example of this. John 19 and in verse 30. It says, verse 30, Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, It is finished. It is finished. Salvation now is open to all. Salvation is not only open to his mother there at the foot of the cross. Salvation is not only open to the Apostle John who loved him. Salvation was not only open to the disciples who had run off and were hiding during that time. But salvation was open to those in that garrison who Norman talked about this morning, who beat Jesus. Salvation is open to that man who took the nails and drove that nail into Jesus' hand and into Jesus' feet. Salvation's open to him. Salvation is open to all those scribes and Pharisees that walked by and wagged their heads at Jesus. And salvation is open to you today. Years ago, when I was in Southern Kentucky preaching, I heard a preacher from one of the other congregations there talk about a man in his congregation who owned a store. One of the most friendly men I had met. But he lost his business, lost the store. He had to go and work another secular job in town somewhere. But the preacher came out and said, "I sure am sorry you lost this store." And he had a box. And the preacher said that he opened up the box, and in the box were just checks that had been returned. Checks no good from the community. Checks that had been returned from the Christians who were worshiping in that same local church with him. And he said, why don't you talk to these people? Why don't you see about them making these things good?" And he told the preacher, he said, "If they can live with this, then I can live without it." You put behind your past wounds. So that's how we conquer our past. You might have a past this morning to where you need to repent of your sins. It might be to the point where you need to be baptized into Christ, to start a new life as a child of God. Everything's ready for you right now. The water's ready. We have clothes in the back for you to change in. You can be a child of God this morning. And for those that have a past that maybe is unbecoming to a child of God, and they need to make things right, we would encourage you to come now while together we stand and we sing.